Hello, and welcome to my brand new podcast. It's really a continuation of my blog, just in a bit of a different format. So if you haven't read that, then you can find it at naomicavaday.wordpress.com. And if you want to leave me a comment or something, then please do so at the bottom of the page. I really enjoy reading what you guys have to say. Or alternatively, you can contact me on Twitter. My handle is at naomicavaday, so it should be pretty easy to find me. Okay, so to continue on from my blog the other day on the proposed changes to prize money, I have a special guest to give a bit of a different perspective, and he is possibly the busiest tournament director the world of tennis has ever seen. In 2014, he hosted over 70 professional events in Sharm el-Sheikh, and he joins me now via Skype. Mohamed El Ghazouei, thank you for joining me. Hello.
Hello, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you on your blog.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. So for those who don't know, can you just tell us a bit about the structure in Sharm and why you took on this huge challenge, really?
We started this I started it in 2012 after our revolution in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
We started by having just few tournaments in the year. It was the main concept of it as when we started, it was we didn't have any sports going on, any competitions, any international or even national tournaments in any sport in Egypt. It's my hobby and it's something that I cannot live without it. And in the same time, it was to help the players that even couldn't travel because of the economic situation in Egypt at this time and the political situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we started in 2012 having few tournaments, around 9 tournaments in 2011. And then 2012, we started also having more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided that, okay, now our players are doing well. They started to get really motivated because in Egypt, we don't really have sponsors for tennis. Nobody's sponsoring tennis because football is the main sport here that everybody sponsors and puts all his budget in football.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, so, it definitely is helping Egyptian tennis. There's definitely got to be a big positive. And also, I mean, it must be great for you to see, you know, players like, I know Belinda Bencic played some of your tournaments and she won your event, and then, you know, going out and winning matches in US Open, you must get a kick out of that as well.
Yes, it was a great pleasure for us here in Egypt to have a player like Belinda Bencic playing here in Sharm el-Sheikh and to win her first WTA points in Sharm el-Sheikh. She won 2 weeks in a row, and that was the start of her. And from the beginning of the year in January and the month from April, we changed all the surface to hard court, green set, which is number one in the world now, the green set surface. I spent a lot of money on this. We are happy to keep doing it as long as it's we can. I don't mind to fund and to pay and not to get all the expenses back, but it has to be at the end the reasonable expenses that we are spending, because the expenses for the tournament, it's not just the $10,000. We pay for the ITF a fee of $1,000 for the 10,000 tournament and $2,500 for the 25 and 5,000. It's like 10% from the prize money you pay as a sanction fee to the ITF.
Oh, really? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you pay a sanction fee to ITF whenever you want to host a tournament. They take from you 10% of the prize money, the prize money. So if you're going to pay 10,000 prize money, they take 1,000 as a sanction fee.
Sure. And there must be other expenses as well. You know, what else do you need to pay for in a week?
Umpires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the umpires and supervisors, you cannot just pay them whatever you want. It's not an agreement. It depends on the badge they have.
Sure.
And there is a certain fee you pay by the ITF. They put fees for them. So you pay this fee, plus you pay for a physio.
Mm.
You must have an experienced physio if you want to do something right.
Yep.
You need to get bold. We are playing with Dunlop Fort and we're playing with Wilson US Open before, so this is the best brand of balls in the world now.
Sure.
And the most expensive ones. You have to get a stringer. You have to make maintenance for the courts. You have to fix the lights. You pay electricity. You have to get water for the matches.
Yeah, God, it's so much, isn't there?
A lot of expenses that you really pay, which gets you from $18,000 to $20,000 per week for each tournament to pay.
Right, so it's around double the prize money is what you're spending each week. Around
it's
double.
Not only the prize money. Yes. Yeah. You're almost paying double the prize money to cover all the expenses.
And do you have any form of income then from the tournament to help make back some of those expenses?
Look, if you want to get an income, the real income, it has to be sponsors. And sponsors for this level, 10,000, when players are unknown.
Yeah, really tough.
You cannot really get sponsors, especially in a country like Egypt or in some other countries in Africa and in Asia. There is really not interest in for the sponsors in tennis, because how many are going to watch this level of tournaments?
Yeah, sure.
And more and above of this, I have other expenses, maybe not in any other country, because I give a free accommodation with full meals to the Fed Cup players and to the Davis Cup players and to the junior team.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I mean, it's great that you're helping the Egyptian players so much, but also you're helping cut the expenses of players such as myself and international players, as, you know, we can stay there as long as we like and we don't have to fly around, and flights are such a huge expense to us that we can get one return ticket and we can stay there for 6 weeks if we want and play six tournaments, which is just not feasible, really, for most of the world.
This is really a great point that you are saying now, because I have many players who are now coming not to play one or two tournaments because they say, if we're still in the level of 10,000, why do we have to fly in another country and play? Because they can just stay one ticket.
Yeah.
They come to Sharm El Sheikh, they stay for 5, 6, 7 weeks. Some of them, they come and stay for 2, 3 months there. You have been there for the tournaments.
Yes.
And you see the quality of the hotel and the level of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison with the amount of money that you are paying, if you travel anywhere in the world, you are not going to find this quality with this money that you are paying.
Oh, yes. I mean, I was just there last week, and $65 and all meals, all hospitality is very, very reasonable indeed. And I think that should be a rule that the ITF bring in to help. All 10,000 should have a limit on how much the hotel should be, because some of them are just extortionate.
I will give you an example. 2 weeks ago, in Korea, a 3-star hotel with no breakfast, it was for $120 a single room, where officially this hotel is not more than $60. It's not the tournament time, but the sponsor is putting for it $120 to make money out of the tournament, and players have to stay there and suffer.
See, that's where the ITF, I really feel, can help, just with intervening in our expenses, because sometimes we are exploited because the tournament's on and you just get told, oh, but it's tournament prices, so it's more expensive, which is just outrageous, really. So these proposed changes to the prize money, some things are going to change in 2016, but I think moderately, and then there's going to be big changes in 2017. So how would this affect you and other tournament directors or sponsors? I mean, I suppose tournament directors need to find the sponsors. So, you know, how will that affect you?
Definitely, it's going to affect us in a negative way, and it's going to affect the players, and this is my point of view. Mm. We have to agree that there are 4 factors for the WTA tournaments. There are 4 factors that they have to cooperate and work together. 2 of these factors, I will consider them as one, which is the ITF and the National Association, because anything you want to do an organization away from being a national association, you have to do it through your national association to contact ITF. So I will consider ITF and national associations are one.
Sure.
And then the tournament organizers and sponsors, this is one. And then the players.
Mm-hmm.
If one of these 3 is missing, there is no way to make tournaments.
Right, yeah. Yep, makes sense.
So, and it has to be a win-win situation for all 3 parties in this. In some cases, you have countries that the national associations have a big budget for them, that they can really make a huge number of tournaments out of it without needing a sponsor or somebody to help in making the tournaments. And some other countries, national associations, they don't have money to make these tournaments, and without the sponsors and the organizers, they are not going to be able to have anything on the calendar yeah. for their players.
Yeah.
One of these examples you can take is UK with the LTA.
Yep. They I know them well.
They have a huge budget.
Yes, the biggest. We have the biggest in the world, I think. I think we're the richest federation. Yes.
Take in comparison, Egypt, we don't have 0.001 out of what the LTA has. So here, the role of the sponsors is very important.
Mm.
Now, on the new situation that we are going to have, I can say that the expenses is going to be almost the double. Not the double, but it's going to be like 60%, 50 to 60% of your previous cost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, 10,000 are becoming 15,000, so that's 50% increase at that level. It's huge.
Yes.
So is it going to be feasible for you to continue as many tournaments as you've got in Sharm, or are you looking into getting more sponsors to try and help with that, or are you going to have to reduce the amount of tournaments you're putting on?
Till now, I'm trying to work out this new situation to see how we are going to be able to do. But I think not just for me, if I will be able to fund more, you're not going to find this in any other country.
Yeah.
You are just going to find that most of the countries, they are going to cut the number of tournaments they are going to have.
Yeah.
And some of them who are searching for income, not to make tournaments because they are not national associations. They are private organizations that are profitable organizations, so they want to make money out of.
Yeah.
So you are going to find them that the tournament started to be not profitable for them, so they are going to stop making the tournament as a business that is going to be running by minus. So why do they do it? So they are going to stop totally making tournaments, and national associations who are making tournaments are going to cut their, if they cannot take from the government more funds for the tournaments, they are going to cut the number of tournaments they are going to make. If they are making 30, they are going to make 15. They cannot make more. And this is the main problem here, that you didn't help the players in this case.
Why? Yeah. Well, this is exactly what my concern is as a player, is that the reason that that $10,000 are so accessible is because there are so many of them. And as I said, with your tournaments, I don't have many flights to take. But if you dramatically decrease the amount of tournaments, then my expenses just, you know, they go through the roof, because I've got to fly around to places, I've got to hop around, and there aren't many options. Plus, the strength of the tournament's going to increase vastly as well. And, you know, my fear is that, you know, in 2017, 2018, there'll be a player who's been starting out doing okay, ranked 600-700, and they look on their iPin and they've only got the option of maybe 3 10,000s to pick between, and one's in Mexico and one's in China and, you know, and one's in France, but will obviously be vastly strong because the whole of Europe are trying to play that tournament. And that's a concern. Currently, at the moment, we normally have about, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 10,000s on per week on average, and maybe 4 or 5 bigger events. And I just think that would be such a devastating effect for players, because, so our prize money has increased a bit, but our expenses have increased astronomically. And I think that's what my real concern is. I mean, do you see that as something that's possible, that I'd be looking at my iPin and there are only 3 10,000s on the calendar 1 week?
Yeah, and also if you take the year by, like, split the year into three parts, the first 2 months of the year or 3 months of the year, sometimes in January, you are going to find only 2 to 3 tournaments, 10,000s.
Mm.
Which are not going to be there anymore. So you might find one in January in some weeks, but there's only one 15,000. After they take off the 10, it will only be 15.
And 500 so people trying to play.
Second thing is, as you mentioned, you will not find many tournaments in a row. So you have to travel, play, for example, in Egypt, and then after you finish your tournament, you have to pay another ticket to travel and play in London, and then you have to take another ticket and travel and play in Tunisia.
Yeah.
And then it's like this. Mm. And what if the tournaments are in Mexico and in Brazil and in this side? What you are going to do? How the players in Europe and Africa are going to be able to travel there, and the cost of the one ticket for 1 week at $15,000, it's more than $1,500 to go and come back.
Yeah, exactly.
So players are going to pay a lot of money over and above their expenses just for the tickets. They're going to pay a huge number for the tickets. At the end, we're going to find that players paid maybe the same as what they were paying before at the end because the prize money is higher. But not all of them can participate in the tournaments. So instead of giving a chance for everyone to participate, you are going to give a chance to less players to participate. And in the same time, they paid the same cost because the cost of traveling is going to be more and the prize money is more. So at the end, it's the same. When the traveling costs were less and the prize money were less, so you paid the same at the end.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what do you think... What do you think is the solution? I mean, I personally think that at the lower level, the ITF should focus more on decreasing the players' expenses rather than increasing prize money, because once by the time you share it all out, it's not a huge increase in prize money. And I do feel like if they could encourage tournaments or even enforce tournaments to follow similar structure to what you have, say $65 a night all inclusive, that would be fantastic. You know, some places you're going to, as you say, extortionate hotels, extortionate food, and it's really difficult for us. I mean, what do you think is a solution?
I believe that the solution is that ITF has to say that they have to make 4 to 5 months ahead, at least, the hotels where it's going to be the official hotels for the tournament. The maximum you can put is $65, $60, $70, whatever they're going to say.
Yeah.
Including all the meals.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to make the tournament, you make the tournament and you put good prices for the players, and you know, in the same time, you and the hotel, that all the players who are going to participate are staying in the official hotel. So you can make approximately how many members are going to be in your tournament, and you can ask the hotel to be part of the sponsors, so they can pay part of the prize money.
Yeah,
they can whatever they can do. So you get
be involved in the tournament
less, and in this way you can continue, and in the same time you help the player. The ITF will tell you, okay, he can stay in another hotel. Yeah, tell me how I'm going to know as a player coming from UK or from Egypt or from France that this small city in Korea or in Japan or in Brazil that you are making the tournament in, where is this site and what's the nearest hotel beside this one, and how much the cost of the taxi to make a transportation by myself if I didn't stay in the official hotel?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
can I manage to do that? There is no way to get it.
Yeah, but the ITF can also help with providing that sort of local knowledge. You know, help us find the best places to stay. I personally thought that was the point of a fact sheet, was to for them to do a bit of the legwork to find an official hotel that, as exactly as you say, meets their standards, and that they can have a negotiation with and an agreement of a reasonable price for us, because they can guarantee rooms, and that's what I thought it was for. But I guess also I think the ITF could encourage federations or whoever's putting on the tournament, whichever tournament director it is, to run more back-to-back events. I think that again would help decreasing our expenses, because we get to stay in the same place and, as you say, adjust to the climate and get used to things there a bit. I think that would massively help also. But you know, it's been fascinating to talk to you though. I've actually learned a lot. I thought I knew everything about running a tournament, but obviously I'll have to run one myself, and then I'll figure it out.
But you are going to enjoy it so much. You know, I'm sponsoring the tournament, and I am the company that organizing the tournaments, and I'm putting myself the tournament director. So I've lived all everything for how to the money expenses, the expenses for the tournament, and how to deal with the players and the problems that really face the players and stuff like this all together. So it's not really easy to do all this together in the same time. But I enjoy it, yes, from one side, but you get confused sometimes, but by the new rules that's appearing all the time.
Yeah, and just got to try and make it work as best as possible. And if you have to put on less tournaments, then that's the way it is. But I hope, I really hope that you can find sponsors and continue to do what you do in Sharm, because I think it's exactly what the sport needs to continue to grow and become global. As you say, it can't all be down to federations if we really want this to be a global sport. So I think it's a great thing you do in Sharm, and you know I always enjoy being there. So
We always enjoy that you are there. We're always happy to see you playing, and we're always happy to have you here in the tournaments. I really appreciate what you're saying about the tournaments. It's something that really makes me feel that we're doing something big, and always happy to see all the players competing in good conditions and having the fair chance between all of them, and try to take all the load away from them, from the expenses. Just it needs to work in a different way from the ITF.
Well, that's brilliant. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that people find this fascinating. I'll keep you up to date with the fallout. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for this.
All right, that was an interesting interview I did earlier. I hope you learned something, and I look forward to posting again soon. Bye.